Session number 14217.
Mr. Sutton, Reel 2, was the organisation of the Walcheren landing similar to D-Day?
Similar, but much smaller, because it was a smaller objective. We took over a load of Royal Marines in very small tank-like vehicles with rubber tracks, and they knew the defences were mainly consisting of spikes that were sticking out of the ground. They had to climb over these spikes as defences, and it was a very quick job as far as we were concerned, because there was a lot of gunfire at that on that occasion, and as soon as we touched the beach, we dropped the ramp, and the Marines got off very quickly, very quickly indeed. We practiced it, and as we did that, I gave the orders. I had the coxswain of the landing craft standing by the anchor wire with an axe, and as soon as we were ready to go and I got moving off the beach, I said to him, cut. That was the order, and with his axe he cut the wire. We left the anchor behind, turned around and headed out to sea, and I said, everybody sit on the deck out of sight, and we just went full head together out as far as we could away from the gunfire, because these 88 millimeter shells were dropping all around us, and quick as possible we got back to Ostend. By the time we got back to Ostend, two of the officers that I'd offloaded with their vehicles were back in hospital. They'd been taken by helicopter back to Ostend, so I found out. So we were able to visit them before we left to come back to England.
So you'd set out from Ostend originally?
Yeah.
Was it much different operating in an estuary as opposed to a coastline?
Not really, because it was right at the opening of the actual mouth of the river. It was purely locating the spot where you needed to land.
Was that easy? Was that easy?
Well, yeah. I mean, by following the charts, yes. I mean, you're given a very detailed chart. So once you've got there, and the flotilla leader is also helps a guide, but you're responsible for getting your load in the right spot. And of course, it's essential to the success of the operation that you do land in the right spot.
Was the beach similar physically to the Normandy beach, to Gold Beach?
No. No, it's much smaller, and there was less area to land on. The landing craft were very close together, if I remember rightly.
Was LCT 1132 identical with 2233?
No, the 2233 was an American landing craft, built in America, and they were brought over, and whereas the 1132 was English built. Bigger too, that was over 200 tons weight and 180 feet long.
Did you have any preference between the two?
Oh yes, the later one was the more modern one.
And then, did you do any other work with LCT 1132?
No, we had a big storm came back on the way back. We had difficulty getting back to England that particular trip, and we finished up having to go right back to Dover before we could actually turn into harbour. And when we examined the craft after we tied up in Dover Harbour, there were two splits either side, the crests and the troughs of the sea was so wide that at sometimes both the front and the back, the bows and the stern, were on the crest of the wave, and the next minute the crest of the wave was right over the centre of the landing craft. So you can imagine there's a whipping sensation experienced on a flat vehicle. So with another, if it had carried on many more hours, it would have broken in two, which did happen to some landing craft, you know, on other occasions. When the troughs are so long, it actually bends down into the trough and then it goes up onto the crest again. So it's they're built to withstand so much weather, but there is a limit. Anyway, that was the end of that episode of Walcheren, and soon after that, because time was getting on, and we were then instructed to, let me see, we took a load of roofing felt and lard up the Seine to Rouen. That was one of the trips, a special trip we did, because Rouen had been so badly bombed that this was, it's like humanitarian side of it for repairs, and so the lard was food help, and that was one special trip amongst them. And then when we came back to Southampton, we were then told to take our landing craft down to the river, to Bordeaux, because the French barges had been destroyed by the Germans, and we were then going to hand over landing craft to the French to replace their barges on the Garonne. This was the Garonne, I think. So we then sailed, I think it was 12 of us, 10 or 12, up the Garonne to Bordeaux, and we handed over the ships to the French authorities. I think that was just before July the 13th, I think it was. And we actually were on the way back. We went back via Paris.
1945, is it?
Yeah. 44? No, 45, wasn't it?
Must be 45, because Walcheren was September.
That's right. That's 45,
I think September,
that's right. 45. 45, of course it was. And because it was Bastille Day, 45, that's right. I remember 14th of July, I was in Paris. And we then drove back to train to Cherbourg and came back to England on a destroyer.
Was there any question of you being sent out to the Far East to fight the Japanese?
Yes, in fact, I was due to go on an astro-navigation course when I got back. But then the bomb dropped in Japan. I think that was a reason. And it was cancelled. There was no further need for any more training. And so that was cancelled, and that was the end of my possible transfer to the Far East. And I was then sent to, I can't remember very much, I made a note of Southampton, but as if I was in charge of a landing craft in Southampton, first of all, appointed there. And I got in this note I made a long time ago, caretaker Southampton, caretaker Appledore. I got a clear recollection of going to Appledore to look after a number of landing craft there, which were then being mothballed after the war. And it was quite an interesting time, because the river at Appledore has got a sandbank across it, and almost running parallel down the centre of the river. And I used to have to take these landing craft to the far side of the river and then drive them full power over this sandbank. And they bounced up over the sandbank and then nestled into the water the other side. And we then moored them side by side along the river bank.
This is in Kent, is it?
This is, no, Appledore is in Devon. Devon. And they were then dealt with by the dockyard people to mothball them, they call it, don't they? To preserve them, preserve them for if they're needed again. I think they were there for some years anyway, and I was demobbed from Appledore.
What do you think of the recent fashion for people who've been in wars to be counselled? Did you find, you or your shipmates find it necessary to be counselled after your war experiences?
No. I actually had an officer right at the end of the war who lost his nerve. That trip out, that big storm I mentioned to you after Vulcan, and it was so rough. The door broke down. The door actually was smashed and went underneath the landing craft, so there was danger of the thing sinking. Well, I had to send this young officer up to the bows with a grappling iron to grapple the door up into place again. And it was quite a rough experience for him, and he lost his nerve. And he didn't appear again. And I was then made a decision whether I should log him for not doing his job or forgetting it. I decided to forget it. It was so near the end of the war. And we were going back to England anyway. So that was it. But I mean, he didn't need count. As far as I'm concerned, he was with me for quite a few months after that. But I just find it very difficult. There's a lot of artificial build-up, I think, in trauma and so on. It's all the people that suffered bombing and so on during the war. Just imagine what a life it would be for psychologists then if that particular thing was available. And so I find it quite unbelievable that so many people need so much counselling. I could understand if someone actually got a murder or close, you actually witness something and it's a horrific experience. But when you're in it in a group like a war landing, etc., it's an experience. To me, the war was 4 years out of my life, and I wanted to get back to my job and earning a living as soon as I could. And I was lucky. I was a survivor. Others weren't. I wasn't even injured. But others were, and they had much more horrific experiences than I did. But, I mean, I've just been over to Normandy with 70 other survivors, and they talk about the experience, but I feel certain that none of them were dealt with by psychiatrists or head shrinkers.
So you never had nightmares or anything like that afterwards, after the war?
No.
But that chap who lost his nerve did so not because of enemy action, but because of the storm?
Storm.
On the way back from Walcheren?
Yeah.